Hey everybody, today's episode is brought to you by Fume, FUM, Fume. They've served over 300,000 customers and you can be the next success story. So head on over to tryfume, tryfum.com and use our code somewhere. Check it out.
Hey everybody, this is Chad Daniels, and you have landed in the middle of somewhere, summer edition. Oh my God, I have blue sky energy. It has been cold and rainy for so long, and today, I'm going to tell you something. It's still only high 60s, but the sun is out. We've been on the lake. We've been in the water. I'm about to fall asleep. I'm trying to hang together. Across from me, as always, is Cyrus Amundson.
My baby is doing this thing where he's learning stuff, Chad. He's evolving. He's learning stuff. He has a lot of things he likes. He can clap. He can wave.
Good.
He can walk a bit.
Like
he
to
can
see
do
that.
A bit of walking. All under 1 year of age. Now, does that make him the best baby in my entire neighborhood? Even though Cody's family, our friend Cody's family, has a baby named Maverick that was born on the exact same day, it absolutely makes my baby the number one baby in the neighborhood. And I won't hear any argument to the contrary. Your baby's fine. I'm sure everybody loves it, but it's not the number one baby in the neighborhood. He's at that baby phase where if you do something he likes, he's like, what if we did this, I don't know, for 2 or 3 weeks straight every minute of every day?
That's a fun phase.
And so
it's a repetition
one of his
phase.
It's a repetition phase. It's easy to be a dad in that phase. You're like, just do the same thing. Okay.
Yeah. Now, can I throw something in here quick?
I would love it. Yeah.
Okay. Maverick isn't a name you're given. It's a name that's earned. And so that's bullshit. And I hate this
Thank
baby
you.
Already. It's like, you're going to,
Thank
you're going
you.
To, I mean, why don't you also give him a gold medal for the Olympics he hasn't been in? You lazy pieces of shit. Make him
Thank
earn
you.
It. You name him
Thank
something
you.
Like Ernie. You name him something like Ernie. Or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, everybody's
and
like,
then
so someday
you find out this guy jumps jet skis when he's seven over docks where people are tanning and you go, God damn, Ernie, we're calling you Maverick. That's how
That's
you
exactly
get that
right.
name.
That's exactly right. Now, do I think it would be fun to let these babies fight at the sand pit as long as they did it respectfully and then we could crown a neighborhood baby fight champion? I do think that.
Absolutely.
Has Jenna said that I shouldn't bring that up to Cody and his sister who's raising Maverick? Jenna has said that. She has also said that.
Yeah,
but does Cody's family listen to this podcast? So now I've circumvented another one of Jenna's bullshit rules. Also, yes.
Yeah, and I'm gonna tell you this. I'll throw in the Gergamu belt that I've had for several years. And I'll throw that in, and they can fight for that. I don't even care.
I think let's do a mini ladder match.
Ooh.
You know, like where they, in the WWF, when they, or whatever it's called now, when they used to dangle the belt, and then you climb up the ladder to have to grab
I
it.
Love it.
And here's the thing, my baby's already walking Maverick, so I think he's gonna get up that fucking ladder. So you better start training your nephew, Cody.
Yeah, Maverick, did you hear
there
that?
There can only be one.
Sounds like you're on the highway to the dipshit zone, Maverick.
I think if my baby beats Maverick in the ladder baby wrestling championship in our neighborhood down at the playground, I think we should call him my baby Maverick.
I do
while.
Too. I think you get the belt and you get the name. That's what I think.
I think that's absolutely
correct. And you go, well, you go, what are you going to call that other baby? Here's the thing. You don't call him anything because that is going to feel awfully fucking lonely for that kid. The kid doesn't have a name, so no one ever calls him and no one ever talks to him. That's it.
And here's the thing. I don't want to be hard on the baby. I'm rooting for baby Maverick as a, like, we want him to grow up secure. But enough of this two babies that are both great in the same neighborhood stuff.
Not
there
into
can
it.
Be I'm not into it either. Now, my baby King of the local babies. He's in the repetition phase. So he loves a good wheels on the bus.
Yes.
Okay,
good.
So we'll will do a lot of good wheels on the bus. And then he likes the this is, do you remember the this is the way we walk the horse? Are you familiar with this one?
No, but it sounds a lot like the Wheels on the Bus tune.
Yep, you put him on your knees. You're sitting flat on the ground at like a 90-degree angle. Your back's up against the wall. You bounce your knees like he's riding on the horse. And at first, it's a slow pace. This is the way we walk the horse. And then it's, this is the way we trot the horse. And then it's, this is the way we race the horse. And he loves it. Sure. Now, in addition to loving it, I can't sit at that sort of angle because of my shitty bird body. And as part of my projection about my baby taking down somebody else's baby built on my insecurity and inferiority complex about a decaying body that no longer allows me to compete. Yeah, maybe it is. Chad, maybe. Am I searching for an enemy? Is that what I'm doing? So I then can have that enemy and talk about that enemy in front of my son as he grows older. And I'll say stuff like, man, I'd love to shoot that guy with a crossbow through the heart at the FC Cincinnati game. So he tumbles down and he falls onto the field, right? You know, something dramatic like that. They catch it on camera, but not the whole act. Maybe the kiss cam is on some couples, and then all of a sudden a body tumbles through with a crossbow arrow through their heart, and everybody's like, they come to find out that was Cy's enemy. And maybe I discuss it like that as this feud, this blood feud fuels, but as I get older and my body gets worse and my son looks at me and he just thinks, I just love my dad so much and he never was able to finish this. And then someday my son handles that for me. Is that what I have going on right now? Am I in that sort of dad moment where I want my son, I'm thinking about gaining an enemy just to pass it on to my son so he can take that enemy down? Am I, basically I'm pitching George W. Bush finishing the Iraq war as a father-son situation. That's not great. That's not great.
No, I feel like you're pitching the Princess Bride. You're going to have your kid walking around the UFC Cincinnati games like, my name is Sunday Amundsen. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Well, I don't want to be dead in this situation. I think it's
dead in this. You can't pass on an enemy. You can't pass on an enemy and still be alive. You can't pass on You can't triple stamp a double stamp, Lloyd.
I think you can pass on an enemy still alive, and I think it works just as good if you go,
I don't think it does.
My name is Sunday Amundsen. My dad couldn't make it today. Prepare to die.
And you know what? When you can't make it, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be laying in your hospital bed, and we're going to bring Sunday in there. We're going to put him on your knees, and then Mike Cronin and I are going to grab one of your legs, and we're going to go, this is the way you walk the horse, and he's going to finally get that testicular stimulation from his father that he's needed.
So, all of this to say that when he rides the horse, Now, because of my bird bones, I don't do the 90 degree up against a wall, legs out. I lay on the ground, and the moment I lay flat on the ground, he gets really jacked, races over to me,
that's awesome,
climbs on top of my chest, and then just starts like going, hey man, we're riding the horse here, right?
He starts like scratching his butthole like a dog on your chest.
But the moment, it's interesting. If you're the one that's helping him ride the horse, you don't really get to share that bonding experience of like you doing something he loves, because the moment you start, he looks at whoever else is in the room to be like, are you watching? Are you watching me? It's this weird ride the horse baby cuck situation where, and it's sometimes when I go into his, when it's just he and I in his playroom and we do it, he's really not into it because he'll look around to see if someone is there to watch him ride the horse, but there isn't, and he really loses steam really quickly.
Yeah, this seems like the silent version of look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me in the lake. Look at me.
Yes.
Look at me. I'm swimming. Look at me. I'm doing a handstand. Look at me. Look at me. And all of a sudden, you're a parent. You just go, look at me. And you're like, I can't see you. You're underwater in the dark blue water. Just be quiet. Please be still. It's a lot. Get ready for that.
Jenna and baby made it they made it north. They're up amongst the lake people, you know, Minnesota lake people. They're up there.
Yeah.
They're very close to you. He saw his first big Minnesota Lake. He spent his first time at one of those yesterday.
Fantastic.
He swung on a swing for the first time.
Oh, damn.
Like a baby swing, and he's pretty jacked about that. But anyways, yeah, he's been baby cucking pretty hard to this.
I would think so too, right? Like, you get him into a room alone, and he's looking around like, oh, there's no one here to watch me dominate my father.
I don't think he views it as domination.
I guarantee he's sitting on your chest and fake riding a horse, bro. That's pure domination. The fact that he has a fake spit and then suck it back up before it hits your face is crazy, because that's step two. That's phase two.
That's actually what he's doing when he's looking around for other people, is he doesn't want to look me in the eyes and let me see his disrespect.
Yeah, exactly right.
A real dad would do this at 90 degrees, you and your lay down situation. I don't even, do you work, dad? Did mom build all of this? Is that what happened? We had his birthday party in Indiana,
which sent shivers down my spine, because you sent me a picture with him, happy first birthday, and I'm like, what the fuck? Because I'm not even on the same month. I'm like looking through my thing, and I'm like, there's no way it's today, because you sent it to me on the Wiener High Five Twins birthday, and I'm like, I for sure would have put that together.
Yeah.
It terrified me that I missed it
in advance, and it wouldn't matter anyways, because you're going to be in Detroit. And let me take some issue with the people of Detroit really quickly. For years...
Is it that my shows aren't sold out yet?
That's exactly what it is. It's that for years these people have chided you about coming to Detroit. They've said, don't worry that we still have houses that in our city that have been burned for 80 years and no one repaired them. Don't worry about all this. Don't worry that the Motown sound no longer exists. Don't worry. Detroit is an up and coming place. Chad, you got to get here. And so you, a la Mike Cronin at my wedding, decided to work Detroit on my son's birthday. A moment that was, I think, just prime for you to develop some special memories with him.
I have already have special memories. Shut your dirty mouth. And also, that his birthday party's third on my list. I don't travel for birthday parties, because I got to go to Detroit. And if I wasn't going to Detroit, I'd go up to Fargo, North Dakota, which is just a little drive away, where Band of Horses are finally going to play an outdoor event, which is going to be awesome. And I have to miss that shit. So guess what? If Band of Horses died in a plane crash and the comedy castle started on fire like many of the houses for 80 years in Detroit, then I would be down there hanging out with Sunday and probably throwing birthday cake at Maverick, little bitch.
I think we're gonna have to put some sort of disclaimer on this episode because of what happened in Iowa, and as well as we know Cody, I don't think we understand how Cody's family will interpret our threats.
I was calling you a little bitch.
Okay, well, it felt like the baby. But so my thing is, birthday parties usually happen early in the day, and Band of Horses probably plays at night. And right. Where you're from and where my family are currently located are, you know, I don't know, 40 minutes from one another. So I really don't think it's a huge ordeal.
Yeah. Okay.
I think you painted it to be a little large. So... we had the birthday party in Indiana, and we had it at this old. Jen and her family were kind of like, it got too hot out. It got like, hey, this will be his only birthday if we have it outside. That was the sort of heat that we had going on.
Sure.
And so last minute, they had to shift to this place called Hoover Hall. Hey, brother, come on down to Hoover Hall. There's been a lot of people got married here that are also now divorced. And
do y'all like cheese sandwiches and cupcakes with no frosting?
Hey, do you remember when we had that ceremony here last year and everybody had on those robes and we were all curious what those robes were about and they never told us? Well, we still don't know.
Sick of smelling our crosses that smell like gasoline? Come on down to Hoover Hall.
Yeah, and help us get rid of the gasoline, if you know what I'm saying, brother. We had to have it at Hoover Hall, and everybody kind of talked about Hoover Hall with like, it's fine, but this is not nice. Lower your expectations. And I get there, Chad, and God damn it, if it wasn't just a slice of Americana, this little rickety small town street with these brick buildings, an old library, and Hoover Hall. I don't know if it used to be a schoolhouse or what it was, but it's two stories. Both these upstairs and the downstairs are basketball, old wood basketball floor, gym floor stuff.
Ooh,
the upstairs actually used to be a basketball court. It's fantastic. And they had memorabilia from this town. It's called Spaceland. Come on down to Hoover Hall in Spaceland, Indiana. Yeah. The least, turns out, spicy place in America. So they have all the memorabilia from all the high school and the sporting events going back all the way to like the 1800s. Just set up everywhere. Wow. I thought it was the coolest venue. I was like, we should have every party here because you just get to walk around. And I don't know if you've seen a high school picture from the 1940s before, but they all look in high school like they're 35 to 50 years old. And you get back far enough and I think old pictures are great. Okay. So it's a really fun time. And then Jenna's friend Kara has a couple of little boys that are older. They're old enough to wear flat brimmed hats, which is, that's a thing I
so
had
three
an experience
or four.
Was like a 9-year-old boy or so, or a 7-year-old boy in a flat brimmed hat. That catches you off guard. Adult fashion on a tiny child is it catches you, I think, a bit off guard. But we brought these bowling pins of Sundays, also used for, as you're aware, the game with no name.
Absolutely, I'm aware of that.
And so we set it up, and I built a game so these two little brothers could could bowl against one another in this unique kind of adapted bowling event, and then we could all gamble on it. So it was a good time. We had a nice time.
That's awesome, yeah.
If you want to survive your son's first birthday party, and survive sounds like it sucks because it seems like you should be proud, but what are we doing? And so I think a key to that is gambling based on the performance of somebody else's children.
That's a brilliant move. How much money did you win? Because I know you like to set things up in your favor.
So what have you been doing? What's been going on in your week? Hey, everybody. Have you heard that the flavored air category is quickly becoming the leading alternative to vaping and smoking? It's a whole new movement towards better habits led by the sponsor of today's program, Fume. When my wife's brother was in town, we'd been sent a bunch of Fume packets, the device, and he got pumped. He tried it. He loved it. The flavored air category is the new thing, folks. Fume is an award-winning flavored air device. It's not like vaping. If vapor was compared to sticky soda, Fume cores are closer to like herbal teas. Fume has a lot of delicious flavors to choose from, like crisp mint, orange vanilla, and on and on. And it helps fill the void of ditching a bad habit can leave. You still have something to reach for. There's no batteries. There's no toxic flavors. There's no nicotine. There's no vapor. Looks awesome. I think that's what Tyler liked about it. And they continuously invest in third-party studies to ensure the safety of their products. So, guys, be one of the 300,000 customers that they have been able to call a success story. For a limited time, you can use our code SOMEWHERE to get a free gift with your Journey pack. Head to tryfume.com, that's TRYFUM.com, and use code SOMEWHERE to get a free gift with your order today. Description link, check it out. You can click on it.
Well, I just had my sister and her kids here.
Okay.
And this is going to seem braggadocious, but I make world-class scotcheroos. World-class.
And a scotch, I know a scotch is a cookie,
It's
right?
a scotch is actually a bar.
A bar,
So
okay.
what you do is you put 6 cups of Rice Krispies into a bowl. You put 1 cup of Karo corn syrup into a saucepan, along with 1 cup of granulated sugar. You heat that up on low heat, constantly stirring so it doesn't boil until the sugar is melted and everything's warm. Then you remove that pan from the heat. You put in a cup of your choice of peanut butter. Could be organic, could be something like Jif or Skippy. Put that
Well, I
in.
mean, if you're going to choose between Jif and Skippy, you choose Jif. Keep going.
Okay, yeah. That's why I said it first. And then you put a teaspoon of vanilla in there and you mix that all up while it's off the burner. Okay, you let the heat of the sugar sauce melt the peanut butter. Then you put all of that into the Rice Krispies, stir that up, make sure it's all coated and stirred up nicely. Then you put that into a greased
Cake pan.
9 by 13. Absolutely. You press that down and then you do. What I and here's what I think make them world class. I
I was
he
just going to say, there's nothing you've said to me so far that seems like I couldn't do it.
Right, and here's what I think make them world class. You're supposed to heat up milk chocolate chips along with butterscotch chips at the same time until it's smooth, and then you pour it over and let it cool. What I like to do is heat up the milk chocolate chips. Then, when those are heated, I throw in the butterscotch chips and let them melt down about halfway. So there's little lumps. So when you're biting, you get butterscotch flavor explosions in your mouth. It really is something.
Yeah, I think that I can understand some uniqueness in that. So you're making these for the Wiener
For the
twins.
Wiener High Five twins, and then of course Seeds Begeeds, my niece, and I'm making them, and everyone's excited. So we have one. We go in the water, burn off some energy, come back in, have a very small sliver as a promissory note that after dinner, if you finish your food, you'll be able to have a normal size one. Then I make fajitas. I don't want to get into how great they are that I make my own fajita mix. It doesn't matter, but I make those. Everybody finishes their food, so I hand out normal size Scotcheroos to everybody. Now, one of the Wiener High Five twins likes to talk, and when he gets going, it's like watching a human being run downhill. There's no stopping him.
Do you think when I retire from this podcast, he could just take over and nobody would miss a beat?
I'm telling you, I wouldn't even have to be here either. When we both retire, we can just press record for an hour. It's not going to make any sense. It
But
is.
the air will be filled.
Yeah, it's somehow it's magically beautiful when he's talking because he's just all of a sudden like, well, when I get older, I'm going to have an Ford F-150 and I'm going to paint a camouflage and then I'm going to sell it because a lot of people want camouflage. And then if someone comes over to my house, I'm going to say it's camouflage. You can't even see it. If you don't want it, you can't see it. And then I'm going to put my farts in a can and I'm going to sell those and see if maybe I can do that. And then my mom will probably die because she'll open up one of the cans because she's always curious about what's going on and she'll smell one of my farts and she'll pass out. This is for 1 hour straight. So you can tell. He's doing this on our after dinner walk because I found out a couple things about after dinner walks. If you walk for just 10 minutes, your blood sugar goes down 35%, unless, of course, you fill that gap with Scotcheroos. So we're on our walk trying to get our blood sugar down, and all it's doing is raising his blood sugar. And it's gone to his brain, and dude. He is on one, just like, well, there's maroon car, and I don't know if you know about maroon cars, but maroon sounds like moron, and moron's like, well, dummy or whatever, and people call me dummy at school, and it's like, I just, you know what I want to do? I want to get my camo truck, I want to drive it into school and see what happens, see if anybody sees me, call me dumb. It's 1 hour. I'm telling you, this whole walk is that. And so finally, he starts talking even faster, and I'm dying because it's awesome. And then he starts doing top 10 lists. And he's like, top 10 reasons I like trees because you can climb them. Number one. Number two, because they have leaves. Number three, because when the leaves fall down, you can jump in the pile. Number four, because you can cut it down, you can make something out of the wood. Number six, because you can start a fire with the wood. Number seven, it's crazy. And he's doing all these things. all these top 10 lists. And then finally, he just goes, top 10 reasons I like Scotcheroos. Number one, they taste delicious. Number two, they have so much sugar. And at that moment, he just stopped. No more list. And everyone is dying laughing. And I think he just hit a wall after he... It was like a heavy metal rock concert where, like death metal, where the guy comes out and he's like, hey, you guys, I hope you're ready to have fun. Kill Satan. I mean, it's like wild. And he just goes, so much sugar. And then that was it. And then quiet for quite a while. And then we go on a boat ride. And it's still nice, so we're going to watch the sunset, and we're sitting on the back of the pontoon after it's parked. And then just out of nowhere, I could just probably drive my camo truck in the lake. Top 10 reasons I drive it in the lake, because no one would see me driving in the lake, and I could go underneath boats. And number three, I could do it. It was wild until bed. And then until bed, he just took like a break. It's the craziest shit I've ever seen.
Is the other kid anything like that?
He can be, yeah. Sometimes these two will start telling stories and they get so excited about the story, they trip over their words, and then they... Here's an example. Okay, be like, so long, I was in this math thing and it was pretty cool and we were going down the thing and there were so many people and then they came over and I got seventh place and I got seventh place and then they like restart, they clear their throat. It is one of the funniest things in the world to watch these two tell stories.
So do you think they got together and like wrote the script for Thursday night's debate? Don't message me. Don't fucking message me. Don't you dare message me. I don't give a shit. Don't message me. It was right there. What?
I'm stoked. Let's just talk about it for a second.
No, I don't want to talk about it. Don't do this to me.
This is a race to see who gets to die in the White House. It's all it is.
We have a good faith understanding on this program, and we've had it for a long time, that if I don't enter the realm of politics, you won't gas me into saying stuff that will thrill some people and upset other people. And on any given day, who knows where it's going to come from or how it's going to go. But I'm going to tell you on this one, Papa Bear is going to, this would be a show ruiner. Okay. We'd have a show ruiner.
Sure.
And you know what? What day is it? Is it time? Should we ruin it?
I'd like to do one more Patreon just for a little scratch before we get out of here.
Okay, yeah. Well, we'll do it on there. Just head on over to our Patreon right now. You can check out Chad and I. We're actually going to... Here's what I'd like to do.
I'd like you and I to debate. That's what I'd like.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Can I give you a better pitch?
Sure. I'll be the judge if it's better. You can give me another pitch, and then we'll see if it's better.
Okay, I think it's better. But what if we had somebody type out the script of the debate? Word for word.
Somebody already did that.
Sit down. Yep. Yeah. I mean, afterwards, you think somebody transcribed every minute?
You can already read the transcript, yeah.
Okay, so whoever, first of all, our condolences to the family of whoever had to do that job, because they probably killed themselves. And so I think we should get I saw somebody, it was actually a friend of ours, posted, I never listen to the debates. I don't do that. I only read the transcript so I can see the words. And, you know, part of you is like, that's a pretty good idea. But the other part is like, I think you should use your eyes and ears too. They are essential functions of the many senses that we have. But I think it'd be great over on Patreon is if we just got the entire transcript, had somebody put it into Hollywood script format, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So we have like a script to read off of. We'll each play one character and we'll just redo the entire thing word for word. Kind of like a cover band.
I'm totally right? into that. I am absolutely into that. Now, everyone listening, say it with me on the count of three. One, two, three. It's never going to happen.
Oh, happen. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know if we were making a political statement or you're just acknowledging the reality of how
we come up with a lot of great ideas.
How we do our business. So, I watched the movie Gran Turismo.
Sure, I've heard of it.
Turismo.
It's with the guy from The scary show on Netflix, right? Where the kids, it's like old school Goonies in the 80s.
Are you talking about Stranger Things?
I am talking about Stranger Things. Isn't it with that guy?
I don't know. I've never seen Stranger Things. Oh. I do love that description of that you just gave of Goonies. Yeah. I know that it has, the guy from Blood Diamond, who's an awesome actor.
Okay.
I know it has Orlando Bloom, who's a tasty little piece.
Yeah.
Right?
No doubt
even
about that.
Even today, the man is a
You know who it doesn't
piece.
Have? Hey, you guys!
Yeah, he's Sloth. Who played that?
I'm not sure.
Who played him?
I don't know.
Is it Sloth? What is wrong with my head? It's not
No,
Sloth.
I think it is, yeah.
It's Sloth, right? Yeah. Anyway, I watched it with my brother Jess and my friend Eric, who you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it also had one of the guys, he had a one-sentence line in the whole movie, and he was playing, I thought I recognized him as someone who was from the movie Shogun.
Okay.
Because there's a Japanese, it's Nissan, is the sponsor of the race in the movie, and
oh.
My friend Eric, who's of, you know, he's Asian American.
Mm-hmm.
He sure took the opportunity to attack me and gas me up for just assuming all Asians look alike. And I was right, Eric. So maybe I've got a good meter on how different Asian people look.
Now, when Eric attacked you, was it with samurai swords and throwing stars?
So we're watching this movie, and it's the story of a simulated racer, how they would have the Gran Turismo Academy, and they would have a simulated racer, and they would bring him, you know, into this Gran Turismo Academy,
sure.
And then this guy went on to have success as a pro racer, and it's all the drama. It's a very good movie. I was impressed by it. But one of the interesting storylines is a common trope. It's my dad doesn't believe in me.
Sure.
And they played that really hard, and his dad just didn't understand racing. I don't know what voice that is, but his dad's an English
Wow, were
person.
They, here's a question. Does this take place on a bobsled? Are you trying to make this your favorite movie?
I'm usually trying to make everything my favorite movie.
I know
movie.
You are.
My dad won't let me. No, let's not do this.
Yeah, let's not at all.
Let's not do this.
I couldn't tell if that was Jamaican or Scottish.
I started in on the Jamaican, and my brain was like, you better do it accurate or this is going to come off wrong. And then I just kind of slowed down, and it started to sound like Mike Myers a little bit.
It sounded like. It sounded like you trying to do John Travolta as a Scot. That's exactly what it sounded like. I'm just telling you.
Oh, Mr. Jess. So I watch this movie, and the dad doesn't believe in the son, and he's hard on the son, and the son goes off, and he's going to take his chance, and he proves him wrong, and then the dad comes back, and he's crying, and I didn't support you, son, and all this, and that's a pretty common trope.
I
wonder how often dads are right.
Ooh.
You like, know, how often there's a dad out there where a son's like, Dad, I'm going to be a Gran Turismo driver. And the dad's like, that's fucking stupid. This is a video game. That's like hard shit. That's fucking dumb. If you don't go get a real, like, education, you're going to be working at the train yard with me. And he's like, I'll show you, Dad. Cut to 3 years later, and they're hooking trains up together.
Well, let me ask you this. How many Gran Turismo drivers are there, and how many people work at the train depot? I'm guessing dads are right a lot.
A lot. I would guess they're right a lot. Now, did you, as a dad, did Isaac ever have any wild ideas that you had to either choose to support because you had a wild idea of being a stand-up comedian, or did he ever have any wild ideas where you're like, that's not who we are, son?
Oh,
we're not luge people.
Well, here's the thing. We weren't anything. So that was good, right? Yeah. I had to start over. I was trying to change the way of the Daniels name. And so we weren't really anything. So it didn't matter what he did. I did try to remind him that millions of people want to be gamers and there are probably like 100 of them. So I did remind him of that. But when he told me, he called me one day and he goes, I'm not going to go home and waste my time playing video games. I think I've told the story, but I'm going to make them. And I said, tell you what, when you make one, send it to me. I want to play it. And then he made one. And then I go, well, now what do you want to do with this? Because it was pretty cool. And I go, now what do you want to do with this? And he goes, well, I don't think I want to make video games, but I think I want to learn coding. And I have to go to this program. And I was like, all right, let's do it. And so he did that. And then I've told you this before, but a bunch of people ended up bowing out early on in this course. And he stuck to it. And now he's got a job. And now he's doing the thing that he wants to do. And so I poo-pooed gaming, but I was on board when I saw the excitement he had about this coding.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think, yeah, because my mom was real supportive when I said I want to be a stand-up comedian. You know, you hear all these stories where the parents are like, not on my watch, son of a bitch. You know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. And I never had any of that. So I just feel like do what you're going to do. I'll always have an extra bedroom, but please succeed because I don't want you to live there.
I think it helps. Here's the thing. You and I both made it isn't the right word, but we made it to a point where we had a career.
Mm-hmm.
I think that helps. I wonder how long the support would have gone, because I have the support, from my folks. Sure. As well. But I wonder how many years you could have gone without getting there before they'd have been like, hey man, can I ask you some questions? But the way it turns out, I would say, I think my dad's more pumped about anything I've done than I am. Now, not this podcast.
No.
As we've mentioned before, he thinks this thing is horseshit. He downloads it just so we have the numbers, because he's
sure
financially supporting his grandchild.
Right. Well, but I wouldn't like a podcast that told the world that I wanted to take a dog to prom either.
Yeah, well,
wouldn't mind hearing that song sometime soon.
It's not on me to lie to the people.
Yeah, I'd like to just hear the song. That's all I'm asking for.
Why would you bring it up?
Because this is just another thing. Say it with me. One, two, three.
It's never going to happen.
That's true.
It's never going to happen. Although, I think this year is a big year for our vacation episode.
I would love to take a vacation episode.
I think I would. A vacation episode. Are we saying the same thing? Because it sounds like you maybe said it like, I would love to have a vacation from an episode and you.
No.
And what I was saying, I'd like to go on vacation with you.
Oh, see, I think I'm saying something in the middle of that. I'm saying we both go on separate vacations and do a Zoom episode.
Oh, from no, different... I want to go to the same
place. Oh, you want to go to the same place. Okay.
Have adjoining rooms and see, be able to knock on the door and be like, hey, what are you doing in there?
Nah.
That's what I would like.
Nope. My kids are grown. I'm not going to listen to crying and shit. And well, this is the
I
way
think
we
I
ride
don't have
the
to
horse.
Bring the kid with. I don't have to bring the kid with. First
That's my
of
kind
all,
of vacation. That's my. You yeah. know what? We found the Gran Turismo dad. He's not even going to bring his kid on vacation. Jesus Christ. It starts early in the Amundsen family.
He doesn't want to come on. He's training for the baby fight with Maverick. He's got all sorts of shit going on. He's
That's right.
someday going to have to avenge one of my enemies. This little boy is going to have to be an impressive, self-sufficient little boy if he's going to have me as a dad. So he's got a lot on his plate. We leave him at home with grandma and grandpa. You, me, Jenna, Kelsey, we go on vacation to the Caribbean. We get conjoining rooms. I see what you guys are up to in the morning. You tell me about your full schedule and you go, Sai, do you want to do any of this with us? And I act like I do want to do any of it, but mm-hmm. then I come up with reasons that I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. And Jenna and I have other stuff. And then we do low impact activities. And maybe I just sit in the ocean for a while. And then at night, I bring my pad to the restaurant and the four of us have dinner. And somewhere in that week of doing that, mm-hmm. we have a nice little epi. We put a nice little epi up
on the internet. I think we would have a nice little epi. And what I would really think is cool is you're like, what is all that noise next door? I haven't been able to sleep all week. So you just pound on the adjoining door and you're like, why the fuck are you still awake? And you just hear me go, so much sugar.
Hey, if you guys like this, there will be a new episode next Monday and every single Monday at 8 a.m. So click the subscribe button so your phone sends it to you without having to do any work.